So if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to John chapter 12. We're going to start there, and we'll also be over in Luke chapter 22, so you can kind of put your finger there. So John chapter 12, and then also Luke chapter 22. You know, last year at this time, we were not getting to meet together in person, and so I'm very thankful to be here today. On this Palm Sunday, and then obviously next week being Easter Sunday. And, you know, a year ago there was a lot of uncertainty, but we weathered the storm and come out of the other side, and God has been faithful every step of the way. And, you know, Palm Sunday today starts the week of what we often call the Passion Week. And it's the final 7 days of Jesus' earthly ministry. But we know for Jesus, it was the Palm Sunday was kind of the beginning of the end for him, at least here on earth. And, you know, I can only imagine what he thought as he entered the holy city. I shared earlier, you know, with our Sunday school class, Palm Sunday was a good day for Jesus, but he knew what was coming. In just a few short days, he would be humiliated and stripped naked and beaten and crucified. And he was nearing the culmination of a long journey, obviously, that would end at Golgotha, the place of the cross. So let's read John chapter 12 today, and let's look at verses 12 through 15. That's where we're going to read from the book of John this morning. So turn with me there, John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. It says, the next day when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Then they kept shouting, Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed, is the blessed one, the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, fear no more, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And so we know that from history that during this time in Jerusalem, there were about 2.7 million people in the city for the Passover. And so as Jesus entered the city, as he entered, the crowds began to wave palm branches. And there was a significant reason for that. The palm branch had become really a national symbol during the time of the Maccabees. And it was this sense of nationalism and liberation that brought out these palm branches, and that's the reason they would wave them. And it fitted the scene here. And as they waved the palm branches, they also shouted the word Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And if you don't know what the word Hosanna means, it's a transliteration of a Hebrew and Aramaic word that meaning save now, we pray. So that's what they were saying, save now, we pray. And they were quoting Psalm 118:25 that says, Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. And Psalm 118 was a psalm of thanksgiving. It was a psalm of deliverance from the enemy. And the people in Jerusalem that day were cheering the arrival of their king. But we know that these people who were praising God this day would be having the wrong idea of Jesus as their king. They were praising God for giving them a king for the wrong ideas. They believed the one who comes in the name of the Lord was to be the king of Israel. And they would sure he would be a national leader and restore their nation to its former glory. And because they didn't listen to Jesus, they didn't understand about his real mission. But we know that Jesus rejected the military and political aspirations by sitting on a donkey, symbolic of humility and peace, rather than mounting a horse, which was a symbol of conquest. And so the crowd's idea of the Messiah was a different one than his own idea. He came to liberate people from sin's oppression, not to liberate them from Rome. And so as we participate in the Lord's Supper this morning, we remember this day. We remember the reason Jesus came into the city. It was to die. That's the reason he came. And so when we celebrate and observe the Lord's Supper together, we participate in a form of worship that really is as old as Christianity itself. In fact, we understand the Lord's Supper, the observance of it, was inaugurated by Jesus on the eve of his crucifixion, just a few short days after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 22, and let's read about when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, right before he was to be arrested, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. It says, when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup after giving thanks and he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you. It is shed for you. Jesus knew the hour had come. He knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. And as we read these verses, from a biblical point of view, the Lord's Supper, we know for us, has a very deep theological meaning, a very deep spiritual meaning. Because Jesus told his disciples that they were to observe this ordinance in remembrance of him. And so the main reason that we observe the Lord's Supper, the main reason that we do this every once in a while, is to remember and think about the fact that Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death and hell. And we are to remember that. And as often as we do it, we are to remember those things. And from a biblical point of view, the Lord's Supper has a deep theological and spiritual meaning. Jesus told his disciples that they were to observe these things, again, in remembrance of him. And so we should remember the Lord's Supper's redemptive significance. Back over in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he cried out, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John clearly established the reason for Jesus' coming. He was the fulfillment of what the Passover lamb only foreshadowed. In Exodus chapter 12, a lamb was sacrificed for the deliverance of one family, but we know at the cross, the Lamb of God was sacrificed to deliver the whole world, everyone, from the power and penalty of sin. The Passover lamb served as a substitute for the firstborn of Israel, but Jesus was our substitute at Calvary. And so without the death of the lamb and the spreading of its blood, the children of Israel would have suffered judgment from God. Without the shedding of blood of Jesus and his substitutionary death, we would have no hope of salvation. And so we should remember the Lord's Supper because it has a personal significance. We just read these verses in Luke chapter 22. Jesus' words, this is my body. Notice what he said, it's given for you. You know, we could kind of insert our name right there, right? This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Yeah, he's speaking to his disciples, but he's speaking to us today. And so Jesus personalizes his statements by using the pronoun you. He told his disciples that he was going to suffer for them, that he was going to die for them. Yes, Jesus would die for everyone, for the sin of the world. But his disciples heard Jesus say, I'm doing this for you, personally. And so as we observe the Lord's Supper, guys, it carries a personal significance. Because Jesus is calling us this morning, us personally, everyone that is here, everyone that is watching online, he's calling us personally to remember what has been done for us. But we also have a personal responsibility to participate in the Lord's Supper with reverence and humility and sincerity. And we need to understand that we proclaim as we partake of this meal together, that we are proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ and his love for others. Paul said that our observance of the Lord's Supper is to be done to help us remember Christ. And perhaps we are never more the church, the bride of Christ, than when we gather at the table to worship Jesus today. And that's why we've come together. Before we do that, I want us to have just a personal time of examination. I do it every time that we observe the Lord's Supper together. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that Paul, he's writing to the Corinthian Christians, and he's warning these Christians against taking communion in a disrespectful way. The people at that time were not treating communion as a sacred ordinance. They were making a mockery of it, if you will. They weren't treating it as something special that had been instituted by Jesus. Instead, reminding them the people of Jesus' sacrifice, communion became a means of self-gratification for them, furthering the divisions among the Corinthian Christians. And so after describing the situation and explaining what communion should be about, this is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. He says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body in Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So essentially what Paul is saying here is that people need to do a heart check. That's what he's saying. To do a heart check before communion. In other words, he's saying, are your hearts right? Are you eating this meal to remember Christ's sacrifice and the shedding of his blood? Are you divided among yourselves, or are you unified in Christ? Are you actually having communion, or are you just satisfying your own selfish appetites? And I want you to notice something that Paul didn't say. He didn't say that we had to be worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper, but he said that we had to do it in a worthy manner, right? There's a difference there. When Paul said that no one should take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, he was speaking to individuals who are rushing into it without pondering its significance. They weren't thinking about its meaning. They weren't honoring the body of Christ in these moments. They were doing it for selfish reasons. But we understand, obviously, that no one in and of ourselves, we are not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper because we can't make ourselves worthy. All believers are sinners saved by the grace of God. But because they are saved, believers can celebrate this observance as given to us by Jesus. And so coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner means to come without a solemn understanding of what is being remembered, without a repentant and humble spirit before the Lord. So we're going to take just a few minutes to reflect on why we're doing this today. And so let's come before the Lord's table with a humble heart. Let's check our hearts. And let's understand the true meaning of what the Lord's Supper is all about. So Andrew's going to play quietly, and I want you to just close your eyes where you are. I want you to just focus upon Jesus and why we're doing what we're doing today. And then I'll close this in prayer in just a few minutes, okay? Let's do that now. Thank you. Father, this morning as we pause to reflect upon why we're doing this today, Lord, we allow you to look into our hearts. Lord, we understand that our heart is the most important thing that you're concerned about. You're not concerned about the external things, but Father, our heart is what matters most to you. And Father, today we pause and we reflect upon why we're doing this today. We're doing it to remember that a life was given, that a life suffered, and it was the most precious life that ever walked the face of this earth. And you willingly gave up your life for the sake of us today, personal, us, one-on-one. Father, you did it for us. Father, that's humbling. And Lord, it shows us that you are worthy of our praise today. You're worthy of all the honor and glory that is due you today. So Father, we ask you today to be glorified in this worship. Father, speak into our hearts now as we examine our lives before you. I thank you for our church, for our people. And Lord, today we worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you, praise you, and we thank you. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Well, before we take the elements together, I want to make sure everybody is prepared. If not, you can raise your hand. Josh has got some extra ones over here if you want to participate with us. I know these are different than what we normally use. We've been using them for about a year now. These are not our favorite. I understand that. But it doesn't lessen the significance of what we're doing today. And so on the top, there's a seal that will, as you peel that first one back in a few minutes, that will be the wafer, the bread. And then there'll be another seal that you'll peel back that will get you to the juice. But we'll get to that in just a minute. Before Jesus died on the cross, he gave us something to remember him by. Jesus was having the Passover meal with his disciples. And the Bible says in Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And like the Passover lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. His body was broken. And the bread that we eat today, we're to remember Jesus' body. We are to remember how he was beaten, how he was treated cruelly, taking our punishment upon himself. In fact, the word excruciating comes from the word crucified. It's where we get that word. It was a terrible way to die, and Jesus suffered immensely. We remember his broken body being nailed to the cross. And when we eat the bread that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ, we should remember and we should deeply appreciate why he had to offer his body to be beaten and abused as a sacrifice for us. His body was broken so our broken souls could be healed. As Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." Amen. Go ahead and take your first seal off and grab your bread there. Let's pray and thank God for the bread. This morning we thank you, Father, for this bread that represents your body. It represents your body which was broken and beaten upon the cross. And Father, what is such a blessing to us came at a price. The price of your own life. So, Father, as we eat it today, may we remember the significance of its giving. Lord, bless us now as we receive it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So there's another element that we receive today, and that's the cup. And you remember, you may remember in Exodus 24 when Moses ratified the covenant that God had made with Israel, that he took blood, the blood of the sacrifice, and he sprinkled half of it on the altar, the other half on the people. And it was with blood of the sacrifice that the covenant was sealed between God and his people. So blood has significance there. The old covenant was one that was based on the blood of sheep or oxen, whereby the high priest would have to go into the temple once a year and make an atonement for the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, he fulfilled the law. He instituted a new covenant, if you will. It was established by his shed blood on the cross. His blood was shed on the cross and poured out for the forgiveness of sin. His blood made the sacrifice acceptable to God. And we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means that we've been declared not guilty. Amen? Not guilty for our sins. He purchased our freedom with his own blood. And so when we take the cup, we are to remember his shed blood. And we are to reflect on the sacrifice he made for us. And we're to be reminded of the covenant between us and God. So go ahead and peel back the next seal. And let's pray and thank God for the cup. Father, this morning we thank you for this cup. Lord, just a small amount of juice. But Father, the meaning behind it and what it symbolizes is so powerful. It symbolizes your blood, which was shed upon Calvary's cross. And Father, as we sang earlier in that old hymn, there is power. The blood will never lose its power. Because the shedding of blood is what gives forgiveness of sins. And the significance of blood shows us that a life had to be taken. And that life was the most precious life that has ever walked the face of this earth. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be glorified as we take this cup. And may we remember the significance of its offering. We love you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in the same way that he also took the cup after supper. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray and thank God for his blessing. Father, this morning we thank you for the blessing that is ours through Jesus Christ. Father, we're alive today. We're free. We're no longer slaves to sin and death and hell. Father, we've been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And Father, may this be our message this week. Father, we understand this week is a powerful week and one in which many people are going to be thinking about spiritual things. And Lord, it gives us an awesome opportunity to share with people the hope of Jesus Christ. May this message be on our lips this week. May it reflect in how we live our lives and the way we love people. Father, let us show the world the difference you've made in our lives. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together.